Chapter 17. Joe and Misty hit the ground as the front door swung in from the impact of the buckshot. It slammed against the wall and rebounded to a closed position. The barking and yelping continued outside, accompanied by the sound of heavy boots charging up the wooden ramp to the front door. "Let me go," Misty shouted. "I have to get to Dad."
"Redfish can take care of himself," Joe said, pulling her to her feet. "We need to get out of here."
As Joe dragged a reluctant Misty back toward the workroom, the door was kicked open. A large framed man pushed into the doorway with a pump-action shotgun in his hand. He spotted Joe and Misty and turned toward them, but before he could level the shotgun, the wheeled mechanic's stool came flying down the concrete floor and slammed into his shins, courtesy of a mighty shove from Kurt. The impact buckled his legs and he stumbled forward, discharging the shotgun into the floor at point-blank range. The barrel of the shotgun blew apart, spraying shrapnel everywhere. Bleeding, stunned, and grasping his numb right arm, the intruder crawled backward and out through the door. Joe gave Misty a gentle shove in Kurt's direction and then sprinted forward to grab the damaged shotgun. With the shotgun in hand, he ran back to join Kurt and Misty. "This thing is useless," he said, examining the barrel. "Might be good for a warning shot or last line of defense." Kurt turned to Misty. "Do you have any weapons out here?"
"In the main house," she said. "My dad has a .30-06 and I have two revolvers."
"Can we get there from here?" Joe asked.
"It's about 100 yards, Misty said, "back through the brush. But I'm worried about Dad. We can't just leave him out there."
"If they had him, they'd be using him as leverage by now," Kurt said, "telling us to come out or else. He's probably hightailing it to your house, too. Either that or he's hiding."
"Probably looking for his bat," Joe added.
Misty smiled nervously.
"Let's go," Kurt said.
They doused the lights, went to the back door, and paused. Peering through the screen door at the back of the trailer, they saw a problem.
"We've been surrounded," Joe said.
There were 3 men out back, one taking cover behind a tree, a second hiding by a corrugated steel shed, a third crouching and inching forward through the brush. As the men waited to ambush them, a drone buzzed over the top of them.
"I have an ATV," Misty said, pointing up. "We could speed past them on it."
Joe looked up. On a metal ramp above them sat a small four-wheeler. He gave Kurt a knowing look.
"Beats running."
The group of men who'd attacked the house had been getting information from the drone flying overhead. The unofficial leader of the group, a man named Bricks, did most of the talking and listening. He held his hand against an earpiece and listened for more information. He'd been told by the drone operator that an old man was on the dock fishing, and the others were in the main trailer, blissfully unaware that they were being watched. But when Bricks and his men arrived, the old man was gone. All they found was a lonely fishing rod resting on the planks of the dock, the line jumping just a bit, his having gotten a bite. As they looked around for him, a pack of dogs appeared out of nowhere, charging and swarming around them like wolves. A few shots scattered the dogs, but the element of surprise was gone. Bricks had sent his largest man into the building only to see him come stumbling back out, bleeding and without his weapon.
"Careful," he shouted to his men. "We got bad intel on this. These targets are more dangerous than we've been told."
As the men took cover, Bricks argued with the drone operator.
"I'm telling you they're armed," he said into the radio. "One of my men is already down."
"You're not living up to my expectations," the voice on the radio told him. "You have 6 men against 4, and one of those 4 is an elderly man. Eliminate them quickly and get yourselves out of there."
Bricks gripped his 9mm pistol and looked at the damaged front door. He had 3 men out back, his injured point man and another shooter, plus himself out the front.
"What's the view from the drone?" he asked. "Where's the old man?"
"Forget about the old man," the voice told him. "Get in there and do what I'm paying you for."
Bricks knew the truth. Fail this job, and the next hitman would be looking for him. He charged forward, firing into the door as he went. Reaching the flimsy door, he kicked it open, ducked to the side, and then dove through the gap, firing blindly in all directions as he hit the floor. He hit no one, but not for lack of trying.
There was no one inside. The sound of a two-stroke engine roared from the barn side of the structure. Bricks got off the floor and ran toward the sound, reaching the back door just in time to see an ATV racing out of the building and charging across the grass, right between his men. They reacted too slowly, turning and firing at the four-wheeler, but the vehicle sped on and the men charged after it. Bricks paused. There was something odd about the ATV. It had a blanket trailing from it, something wrapped up inside, but... A thud sounded behind him. Bricks froze as something jabbed him in the back. "This shotgun might not work that well anymore," a male voice said, "but it'll blow your guts out if I pull the trigger." Bricks raised his hands instinctively. The dark-haired man they'd labeled Target One took the pistol from his hand and gave it to the woman who lived there. Relieved of his weapon, Bricks was forced to the ground. In a minute, he was tied up and gagged. The two men who'd come inside with him were in the same condition. The other three hadn't stopped chasing the ATV. He knew, at that moment, it was a job he should never have taken.